It's a very interesting shiur today, and it's a shiur full, you can hear on two levels, but Alamdin, this is the heart of Rav Avadya before your eyes, dancing before your eyes. Today is February 25th, 2018, Sunday morning, and the clock is running. Before we know it, it's Purim, Pesach, and Jacob, all that goes with it. I want to tell you the attacks on the rabbinate continue unabated. There was an article, I thank Steve Gross, my dear Talmud, sent it to me, an article in Jewish Week in New York. Rivka Lubitsch, who we mentioned in class, my student originally, Rivki's Liebman, and my student Seth Farber, oh, what's going on in this article, doomed at birth. And if anyone's listening and can get to Rivki and to Seth, tell them in their Rebbe's name, if they look into Rav Avadya's new volume, the title should be The Greatness of a Talmud Chacham. You follow? Because all the cases they give here, they give one case after another of women and the but they did him. If anyone will look at the new volume of Rav Avadya, all these cases can be solved within the halachic context. And that's what it's all about. Okay. As far as... we spoke about DNA, we'll speak about it again, but there was a very interesting piece in one of the weekly freebies that they give out, Shabbaton, I believe it's called. It's the thick volume that has many ads about the Svelerek Pesach in Cyprus, in Greece, in Italy, anywhere but in Israel. But they have a whole article here on genetics. The Rav of the Ichalov Hospital, which is, you know, the main hospital in Tel Aviv. And he deals with DNA, and it's exactly what I told you. In relation to Mamzeret, they accept DNA as a simon beinoni. They don't want to accept that it's more, because otherwise we'll be Maber Mamzeret be Yisrael. So my daughter told me this years ago in the Bat Dinim, and she was absolutely right. What's interesting is, when it comes to being Mater and Aguna, there they'll accept DNA 100%. Also fascinating is a Tshuva Rav Wuzna that he quotes, that there's a difference between DNA when they have your specimen from your body than the DNA that they compose from relatives. You follow? And generally when we're talking about Mamzeret, you're dealing with DNA from relatives, generally. Certainly with Aguna, you're dealing with DNA from relatives. So it's very fascinating. But halacha l'maisa, we don't, anachnu lo rotzim lahambort mamzeret b'Yisrael. And this article was very informative, and I'm happy to see that my knowledge is correct. A very interesting insight, if you recall, I'll pick up with last week, we were dealing with problems of mamzeret. And we were dealing with a problem that really made us think with the person from Panama, the chief rabbi of Panama, Sion Levi, Rav Avadya. And the truth of the matter is we don't really know the exact details of the case. I'll explain to you why. We're missing the original description. In other words, here it's private correspondence. It's not like a beitim. When we deal with Rav Avadya, and it's psak in a beitin, so there you have to have the original description, A, B, C, D, what happened. But in that question of the woman and her second marriage, and she did have a get, didn't have a get, there's no actual description. So, for instance, the rabbi from Germany, all we know is that he claimed the kids from the second marriage are a mamzerim. How did the rabbi in Germany get involved? How did he know the original couple? Were they married there? We don't have the details. Then you get involved with the chaplain and Witkin. Who was he? In other words, here, on one hand, he seems to talk like a Torah Jew, that he was, there was a get between the first marriage to the second marriage. On the other hand, we see at the end of the tshuva, Rav Avadya's dealing, is this guy reliable? Can you believe him? A Mechalel Shabbos? What is he, a Mechalel Shabbos? What kind of rabbi was he? And Rav Avadya gets involved with the question, with modern times, it's an overwhelming question. Sam, I can guarantee that your grandfather dealt with the question 1,000 times over, and your great-grandfather as well. You follow what I'm saying? It's a question we all have to deal with, but we don't have the details who he is. But halacha l'maisa, you see that Rav Ovadia rov bi'ilot acharei habal, which we're going to come back to and back to and back to, and logically speak, when he rov bi'ilot acharei habal, she's living with this guy. She's no longer looking at her first husband. Rov bi'ilot acharei habal. You'll see later today, next week, that once a woman lives a licentious life, who says she's not sleeping with a Gentile? Who says the kid isn't from a guy? The minute you can have a doubt that the kid is from a guy doesn't create mamzeret. You follow me? Yeah, and you can go on and on to be marber with the sveika. Of course, then the question is, so what is mamzer all about? And the only way I can approach it in the 50s, it was magnificent. I recreated it for the Kollel about 36 years ago. The Rav gave it was a Yahrzeit Rasha, when the Rav was in his prime. And it was based on Pashut Ketisa. And the whole concept of Moshe Rabbeinu pleading with God to forgive the Jews, here they did the worst sin in the world. They worshipped an idol. They built the golden calf. And here's Moshe pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and M'cheni Na'amach. But halacha l'maisa, in that year, the Rav developed the concept that, which is well known. Anyone who knows Kabbalah, Rav Heschel Shechter, in private conversation, I can't say, I don't know if this was said publicly, but we got together last week. We go back more than 70 years, so we know each other well. He was my brother's chavrut. He's slightly younger than I am. So it was my brother's chavrut. Dr. Levi Rothkopf and Rabbi Heschel Shechter learned together for many years. So we were talking about the Mashpia of my Talmud. So he tells me the Mashpia is fabulous. He speaks Kabbalah and he makes it intelligible. You follow? Rav Heschel said he went to hear this one speak, that one speak. The minute they got over Kabbalah, I didn't understand the word. The Rav said when he came back from the 1980 Fabrengen, I was told that the Rav said that, oh, what a mind the Rebbe has. And, you know, he held no books in front of him. Everything was bi'al peh. But the Rav said the Kabbalistic part, when he said the Maimah, which is a very moving moment at a Fabrengen of Chabad, and the Rebbe holds a handkerchief to ground him. We spoke about it when we spoke about the Rebbe a few years ago. And he said, that I didn't understand. But Rav Heschel gave the Mashpia credit. He quotes Kabbalistic concepts and he makes it clear. It's like whenever I daven Nusach Sfar, there's a shul up the block from me, so if my grandchildren are not home, I daven 1 minute from that, 2 minutes from the house just to walk up the steps. Otherwise, I have to walk 10 minutes to my son-in-law's shul. My son-in-law runs the shul, and if they're grandchildren, great-grandchildren there, it's worth the walk. I don't have to tell you. Kegafna. And one Friday night, I wander in, and there's a chazan there, and he does that kegafna, and a shtreit, and a zingt, and he's here, and he's there. And I turned to the guy next to me, and I said, "Atam mevin mila echad me kegafna? Tazbili." This guy who's been saying it for 80 years, and he lo mevin, and he kachamrim. So, as the Rav explained that time, Torah Shebichtav is Midat Hadin. Torah Shebal Peh is Midat Rachman. And it's the example I gave you last week. It said, we say Mojamut, Mojamut. Someone will say to you, wow, Mojamut, what kind of Torah is this? And yet the Mishnah says, if you kill once in 70 and 7 years, then once in 70 years, Beitin is a murderous Beitin. Knew what's going on here. But you see, there are two levels. One level is the level the way it should be. But the Torah Shebaal Peh says we have to make our peace with human frailties. And that's the mamzeret. On one hand, you want to frighten a person. Maybe you'll think twice before a father has relations with his daughter. God Gutzalup, and God have mercy, what people, so-called from people in Israel, have been arrested for and are sitting in jail for. But on the other hand, once we have a Shaila v'mamza, so that's the Medrash Rabbah, which I quote, all this is in my Rakafat Aron Chelek Gimel. We have the Medrash Rabbah, the Mot Asukim, that this poor kid, what did he do? Why should he be punished? So we do everything halakhically to help him. Now, that tshuva was to the Rav in Panama, Sion Levy. And I said to you that YU, what became YU, there was someone with that name in the 30s. They turned it into a big simcha that YU is teaching. This was some fundraising at the Hanukkah dinner. In the mid-30s, we are not only teaching kids from New York, from all over the United States, all over the world. And they produced the Sfadik kid. And I wondered whether it's the same as the Sion Levy from Panama. And we had someone in class last week, I don't know where he is today, but he said, Avi Schwartz said, he was Masada Kedushin for my grandparents. He was Masada Kedushin for my parents. Is he the same person? So I have to thank my student, Josh Schneider, did his research. These are two different people. Rabbi Sion Rachamin Levy, chief rabbi of Panama, of Moroccan descent, born in the British Mandate of Palestine, 1922, his son lives in West Hempstead. Ask Sam Dratch. He is the Masada Kedushin you are referring to. That's the guy from Panama. Rachman Sion of Iraq is the student of the yeshiva. You follow? I inverted the names. One is Sion Rachamim Levi, and one is Rachamim Sion. Unbelievable. Then he sent me, here it is, Jubilee Dinner, the Hanukkah Dinners, 1936 and 1937. And my cousin Rabbi Revo is speaking about the Talmud. I quote, Yeshiva has already a national international address for Torah study. Yeshiva students, Rachman Sion of Iraq, Elias Levy of Rigun, and Julius Heinemann from Würzburg, Germany. So, it's not the same person. Halacha l'maisa, we're talking about two different people, and that explains why they don't mention that he once came to Yeshiva University. It was a different person. Okay, now let me move on. Here we come to a Shaila, and Shailas like this, Jacob, are repeated thousands of times in modern rabbinic literature. We have a tremendous schut, the Iron Curtain fell. You fellas today grew up in the world. Again, time marches on. It's like they're bringing me back to America to talk about the Rav. No, I hate to say it, but they're right. I'm one of the few Talmidim of the Rav in his golden period who is still active and still functioning and still producing and still teaching and still learning. Okay? So I understand what YU was saying. Time marches on. When we were growing up, we totally gave up that we'll ever see Jews from behind the Iron Curtain again. The Jews behind the Iron Curtain were totally cut off. There was no way to reach them. The Iron Curtain was real during the Stalinist period, in the 30s into the 40s, endless Jews, until the 50s actually, early 50s. If you showed any Judaism, they exiled you. Many of them went to prison, many of them went to labor camp, many of them were executed. As I've said more than once, Chabad should come out with a volume of all the Chabadnikim who paid with their lives, including the Rebbe's father, the seventh Rebbe's father, for propagating Judaism, the Iron Curtain. And then suddenly the gates open. And you're talking about not just Russia, you're talking Russia, Poland, Hungary, Romania, Czechoslovakia. All these countries fell under the Iron Curtain, some more, some less, in relation to religion. Now, suddenly the floodgate opens, And in the state of Israel today, could you imagine a moron from Tel Aviv University, you know what's going on, came out last week, we have too many Jews in Israel, we should, like China, we should promulgate a law that you can't have more than two children in a family. I mean, it's amazing, a moron is born every minute. And we Jews, we have goyim, and lo aleinu, we have, God, it's hard to comprehend this individual. But be it as it may, we must have living in Israel of iron curtain descent. In other words, I'm not talking about people like myself that my grandparents emigrated to America from Russia 120 years ago. I'm talking about people who were behind the iron curtain. We must have into 2 million, if not more, such Jews in Israel. Israel divides 7 million, at least out of the 7 million, 2.5 million, 3 million have to be Sfadik, Eitat HaMizrach, and others, but there have to be onto 2 million. Do you start to understand the halachic problems you have if these people married, divorced, everything was done without Rabbanim, without learning, without knowledge? Not only that, marriage in the Soviet Union was treated differently than the mentality in the Western world, the Israeli world. And what I mean is very simple. In the Western world today, we live without ethics, without morals, without Torah. It's a different world. Isha Yeshabi and Abi Aser were totally self-centered. Kids in high school are getting condoms free of charge. I once saw a directive here from the Ministry of Education to the schools that are not mamlachti dati, mamlachti, and here I'm quoting word by word, basically, that sex is perfectly fine and good. A child has to take responsibility, he has to know that he shouldn't father a kid while he's in high school. But if someone knows how to take responsibility and how to use contraceptives, there's this thing of consenting teenagers, and this is the way they're educating kids. It was shown to me by the secretary in this building of BMT. She was in a state of shock. She taught in the school system, and she had the directive. She showed it to me. I couldn't believe my eyes. But you understand, this creates unbelievable problems. Just to indicate a problem that you're all familiar with, Haisha Niknet Pishtol Shadarachim, Bekesef Ishtav Abiyah, all of you know you don't need Kesef Shtam Biyah, you need O, either or, one or the other, right or wrong. So a couple is living together on the west side, the upper west side, it's his wife. She then has an affair with another guy. Then finally, after four or five affairs, she's getting married. No, does she need to get from first affair, second affair, third affair, fourth affair? Hein hein eidi bia, hein hein eidi yichud. And that's the problem haunts us. Then take the communist empire, all you had was civil marriage. They were very poor in Russia. A couple that wanted to live together in the Western world, it's no big deal. You find an apartment, you find this, you find that, you go to a motel, you go here, you go there. You can live together anyway, in the back of a car as well. Pardon me for being vulgar. But in Russia, no one had cars. No one could find an extra room. Family shared an apartment. All of you know this. So they got married so they could live together. But marriage wasn't serious. They were 18, 19, 22. They get divorced. I sat in rooms in Russia teaching in the 80s where there were people there sitting who had been married two times, three times. It was all a farce. But these are Jewish kids. It's civil marriage. Who do you need to get? Don't you need to get? All right. Watch this question now out of Russia. Very fascinating question. And I know the people involved. Again, I'll say a few words in a moment. It's Yabia Omer Chelik Yud Aleph Siman Vav. And this question came up before the Beit Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, and they contacted Rav Ovadia. And this, I have to tell you, was the Nohag. When I came up with that whole frightening in the Kollel, looking at Bini Blau, I still remember like yesterday, going back to the 1990s, so looking at my Talmud, the Binyamin Blau, it hit me like a light bulb that this Aguna who needed Chlitza, I came up with a Sveik Sveik Lahatirota. because the person she needed chalitza from was behind the Iron Curtain. This had to be the 1980s yet. Was behind the Iron Curtain. And if he's behind the Iron Curtain and he was the head of a kol holz, he was a Jewish cup. But he was a total atheist. So on one hand, there's a homachlokes rishonim with the goyim involved as well, whether if the brother-in-law is an idol worshiper, is a goy, is a nozri, an obed avodah zarah, is there a zika? Does he create the zika that you need chalitza from him in order to marry? So although we pass him la'alocha, yes, even if the brother-in-law is a goy gamur, he does create a zika, but there are shitat rishonim that hold he does not. So that's one suffix. Maybe we can be samach on the mekilim. The other suffix was this lady married a man who had died, who she now needed chalitza from his brother. She married him here in Israel. They were both from Russia. And he was sick at the time. He was much older, and he had a kidney problem, which she did not know about. Ultimately, it killed him within a year and a half, 2 years. Had she known, she would have never married him. So then you have a suffix of makach toet. So I had a lawyer, a very famous lawyer, Dov Frimmer. Dov Frimmer worked for me for nothing. So Dov, you'll ask, why did he work for you for nothing? Dov Frimmer is well known, he charges. The answer was I sent him to Russia with his brother. So anyone I sent to Russia was makir toiva to me. So Dov took the case pro bono, I give him all the credit. We went into the Beit Din, we went here, we went there, and the Dayanim all said, Harav Rakefet, a wonderful thought, but I don't know, we don't have the self-confidence. Latir, the woman without chalitza. So what did they do with the Shaila? They told me to send it on, to bring it to Rav Avadja. So having taught Rav Avadja's daughter, I had influence with him. So we not only got an appointment, but when we came in, the room was filled with people waiting to see Rav Avadja, and his Kaba yells to Rav Avadja, Ha'ashkenazim Higiyu, and they took us right into Rav Avadja, and I told him the problem, and he understood me within minutes. The rest is history, you can read about it in Washington. Now, here they send it on to Rav Avadja, and the story is that this woman was married to this man. First marriage, we'll call it one-to-one, chuppah kedushin with a rav. And we have no idea who the Edom were. And we're talking about behind the Iron Curtain. And she claims it was Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. But we have no idea who the Edom were. Not only that, we all know that in Russia, the only type of marriage that was recognized was a civil marriage. And if this is the case, who says she's correct that she had chuppah v'kedushin? Now remember, she was married, this is the first marriage, which she claims was Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. Then she married again, and she has children from the second marriage. No, if we're going to believe her that she was married Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, did she have a get? If she didn't have a get, then the kids, God forbid, couldn't be mamzerim. Okay, so number one, Rav Avadja here deals with a famous klal that basically it's only the man, the father, who has the ability to say B'ni mamzahu. The woman does not have this ability. And even though she's giving testimony, but she has no ne'emanut. Halacha l'maisa, she cannot parcel out the child. You can look, the Rambam Hilchot Isuri Bia, Perek Tetvav, Halacha Yudalit, look into the Rambam, look into the Nosei Kalim, and you'll see this idea develop beautifully. And even if we give the woman slight credence that we believe her, the child is only a suffek mamza. And remember, Whenever you get involved with a Safek Mamzer, this is the whole perek, the final perek in Kedushin, Yuchasin it's called, Yachsar Yuchasin Olam Ubavel, you get involved with a Safek Mamzer, Lo Yavam Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, but a Safek Mamzer can come. Kal Hashem, only if it's an absolute Kal Hashem. If there's Sfeikot involved, a Mamzer Gomer can come. So it's only a rabbinic prohibition. The minute you get involved in the rabbinic prohibition, it is easy as Safek Rabbanan. If you can create Sfeikot, Shitat, Halacha, Snifim, Safek the Rabbanan Lahakel. So this is the way Rav Ovadia begins in answer to Rav Yosef Kohn, a chavir of the Beit Mahagadol Yehurim. Let me just say a word. Let me not take it for granted you know about this. I lectured on this extensively many, many years ago. But you have to be aware. Have you ever studied Choshen Mishpat? I'll put it that way. You'll see in Choshen Mishpat, there's no concept. Once a Beitin gives a psak, the Beitin gives a psak. It's over. Right or wrong. It's the only time you can go beyond the local Beit Din. Let's take the Pashat Shoftim in Devarim. If the Beit Din can't give an answer. The Torah itself says, Bein Dam Ladin, Bein Din Ladin, Bein Nega Lanega, Divrei Rivot B'Sharecha, then you're allowed to go beyond the local Beit Din. But if the local Beit Din gives a psak, you can't go beyond it. A psak is a psak, right or wrong. All right. To the modern mind, this is a total conflict. The modern mind, the modern legal system, one of the great things about the modern legal system, Western law, British law, which is the basis, is that there's a greater Beit Din. There's a superior court, a supreme court. What's the word they use in New York? Is it called a superior court or... what's it called? Supreme Court in New York too?
Superior Court.
A superior court. So I'm right. I'm using the right terminology. And you can go to a higher rank. No? In the Bate Mishpat in Israel, they follow British law. So immediately you had the right of appeal. In a Beit Din. So this is one of the takonot. They're going back to the 40s, the chief rabbinate made takonot that enabled the Bate Din to function in a Western fashion. Now here you have to understand, we can't play games with halacha when this is the halacha, period. At that point you bow, you submit, naseh v'nishma, Korach can have all the common sense in the world, talit shekulot chaylet, bayit malei svarim, but the halacha is the halacha, right? This is axiomatic. When it comes to dini mamonot, you can have a lot of maneuverability. Dinei Mamonot already is, there are many aspects of Dinei Mamonot where you can innovate with Takanot that bring the halacha into a Western concept. And I'll give you an example. The chief rabbinate ruled back in the 40s, I think it was 45, women are accepted for Eidot in all the Batei Dinim. You have to differentiate between Eidot L'Kiyam Dava L'Eidot L'Birur Dava. Eidot L'Kiyam Dava, let's say two witnesses for marriage, must be men. That is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. But Eidot L'Birur Dava, if you want to find out whether Michael owes Yitzchak $50, anyone who can testify is accepted. So the same thing they introduced in Israel for the Batei Dinim, that in all these cases to come up in the Batei Dinim today, you can appeal to the Beit Din HaGadol Le'irurim. That's what it's called. The Beit Din HaGadol for appeals. Irurim. I don't know if there's a better English word, but that's the word I come up with. Irul, Area. And there's the Beit HaGadol Le'i'urim never hears new cases. You follow me, Aryeh? There's never a case brought before them that you're having a fight with someone and you're the prime minister and this guy's the chief of staff, so you want... No, you can't go. You go to a local Beit Din. But if you want to be ma'area on the Beit Din, that's the Beit Din HaGadol Le'ir'ur. Okay. Now...
The original question was about the Chalitza, then he's jumped ahead.
Chalitza was my question with Rav Ovadia. That I just gave as an example.
But what was that, the answer?
That's what I said to you, go to Washington. If the answer was... I'll take off a minute. The answer was that a little kid from the Bronx named Donny Rothkopf created a very good sveika. Rav Ovadia looked at me and he said, "Ulai lo haya nisuin rishoniyim." You know, he wanted to parcel it out that way, but I told him no. The marriage here in Israel was in the rabbinate. We have to assume it was good. So she was married to this man. But I said, the sveikas, Rav Ovadia, like this. Within a minute, he says, Svara tova, nifla. Tein li yasara yamim, v'yanei ten lechem ktuva b'chtav. And within 10 days, I have it in my house, within 10 days, we got a 20-page, legal-sized, typed answer with 1,000 sources on a mumma does not create a zika. Who holds like that? Although it's not the basic halacha, but it's a shitat rishonim, and 1,000 sources on mekachtar all the way down to Reb Maisha. So between the sveik sveika, he was matirha to remarry. But and if you look into Yabia Omo, this tshuva comes up in Chelik Tet. And it's to Dov Rima. You'll see it's to the Orech Din Dov Rima. You'll recognize it right away, the case. And I also give you another source, where it's printed originally in Bar Chayi. And there's a postscript. The postscript is very interesting. That Baruch Hashem, because it was so innovative, Rav Ovadia made a tnai that I had to get 2 other Gedolim to agree with his psak. And believe it or not, we got Rav Shaul Yisraeli, I have the children in my house, and we got Rav Shalom Mashash, the Sfadic chief rabbi, to agree. But then, what happened? This all began in the late 1980s. It began because, again, I don't want to go into more detail, it'll take time, but my wife and I pulled off a miracle. There's no one else in this room that has a mitzvah pidyon shvuyim. Malka and I have a mitzvah pidyon shvuyim, which is the chatima on it is from the Mossad. Who did we get out of Russia? The Essas family. We got them out in 86. So when Agudat Yisrael, they contacted me, because this case came to Reb Menachem Parish, who was then the leading Aguda activist. And then it went on, the case came to the head of Chabad, of the Yobsei Brit HaMoetzot, the head of Shamir. I have his name, everything is in Washington. So they said to me, you've done one miracle, maybe you can do a second miracle. And this is how it began. By the time it went through, Rav Ovadia went back to the court and the heter was operative, the Iron Curtain was starting to fall. And it's an unbelievable story. We contacted this guy in Russia, her brother-in-law, and she went to Russia, gave him $1,000. The guy was overwhelmed, gave a chalitza, not only gave a chalitza, but cried, get me to Israel. He wants to go. I don't know if I'm sure he got here afterwards. And I can tell you even more, to make Sam happy and proud, your grandfather helped me. I have correspondence from your grandfather. As a result of my contacting your grandfather contacted the chief rabbi of Moscow, Rabbi Shaiowitz, and gave him all the instructions how to do the chalitza. And halacha lemaisa, We didn't have to do it. She got chalitza, and we didn't have to be samach on the chetta. So there's a postscript. So Baruch Hashem, ze lahadil Torah lahadira, abo lahalacha, abo zelo hayatzirich liot lamaseh. And the Iron Curtain, this was by now 1990. You know something, I don't know what happened subsequently. She sent me a beautiful kosa, a gift. People who heard the story said to me, how are you related? I'm not related. I met the woman once in my life. I remember she was she worked for a tourist, for a travel agent on Rehov Keren HaYesod. And I had to get signatures from her for Dov Frimach had all the papers now for the Rabbinate and that she's appointing him, etc., etc. And I had to go to her, and that's how I met her once in my life. So I hope Rav Yechiel German told him everyone as well. Now, so here you see the problems behind the Iron Curtain. And here the woman says she was married, Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, and then she remarried, there was no divorce, and again, the story is overwhelming. But Rav Avadya says, where does she get the Nemanut? And who says she's right? Who says she's correct? And Rav Avadya says, this is very important now, Hagon Reb Lezer Goldschmidt, I knew these people, he was a member of the Beit Nagadol, he was a Litvish Talmud Chacham, a product of Panovich, if I'm not mistaken, and he said, Eidet Nemanah, that the Chazon Ish Paskin Lahalachu Lomaisa Lahakshir Hablad Shabab Bifnehem Mitam Hanau. And could you believe it? Chazon Ish Paskin Lahalacha. A kid, they had a problem, suspected of Mamzeret. Paskin Lahalacha, the mother cannot passel him. Now, here, too, there was a second factor. And this factor is one that's, what can I tell you? The world has exploded in modern times with the second factor. What's the second factor? That the woman testifies in Beit Din that right after she married her first husband, she saw the man has mental illness. She found out that he had this mental illness from childhood. Da'adayti lahachi lo nisalei. She would have never married him. Mekach ta'ud. And if it's a mekach ta'ud, the marriage never took place.
Why don't the rabbis use that today?
One second, Yitzchak. Patience, savlanut. This shaylan, he refers. This is the famous case in Igrot Moshe, where I told you about, remember, maybe last year, 2 years ago, I don't remember, where Reb Moshe had the Shiloh. It's amazing. All these Shilohs come out of Baltimore. I'm dealing now. I have a terrible problem. I can show you my office, a long letter. I don't know. Sad what men can degenerate into. Love is love, but boy, when love turns to enmity, it turns to total hatred. So, and you lose your common sense. Anyway, Reb Moshe writes a tshuva to Rabbi Zev Drazen. It's in the first volume of Yoredeya Evin Ezra, first volume of Evin Ezra. And if you have it, cross out the name Zev, write in the name Natan. Story in Nathan. The story is very simple. There were two Drazen brothers, Musmachim of what's today Yeshiva University, Talmidim Yerev de Mechita Eloi. One of them went into business, very well, very well-to-do family, the Drazen family, very successful from Montreal originally, wonderful family. He went into business. He came in Aliyah right after the founding of the State of Israel. And he opened up a pencil factory, I remember, in Petach Tikva. It's before you imported from China. And he employed so many people, gave them jobs here. And he was head of the chairman of the Moetzah HaDatit of, if it's not Petach Tikva, it's Ramat Gan. It's one of those two cities. Reb Moshe knew the older brother. The younger brother, Nathan, knew, you tell me. He was the most famous rabbi in Baltimore. Baltimore was a YU city in the 30s into the 40s. what became of Baltimore, if you know what's going on at this moment in Baltimore and Eretz Yisrael, you have to rip Kriya when you see what it's degenerated into. But that's we'll deal with that tomorrow, not today. So Reb Moshe addresses the tshuva, you know, the pen slip. In Reb Moshe's mind, it's like I've taught five kids from one family. So I'll always remember the first name of the first kid I taught. I mean his brother, I'll call him by his brother's name. Oh, I'm sorry. Reb Moshe writes to Zev, it's Rav Natan Dresen, Nathan. What did Nathan buy? Nathan Dresen told me this. He was my neighbor. We moved on Aliyah together, 69, 18, Berlin. So he told me this woman married in Baltimore, and after marriage, it uncovered the guy has mental problems. And she uncovered he already was diagnosed and sought treatment long before the marriage. And he refused to give a get. Reb Moshe was mata her without a get. See, this is mekach tod. This, again, Rabbi Rachman used the word hafkat kedushin. Hafkat kedushin b'zman hazeh, if you recall my lectures and you look into Rakafer Aron Chelek Gimel, we don't have a Beitin that has that power. That's beyond our ability today. That's 99% of the poskim. But Mekach Tar is Maisim B'chol Yom. This story came up again with Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky. What went on the last 2-3 years, the case you know, that the woman claimed that the husband had mental problems and she didn't know about it. And the psychologist, I can't comment because I never really saw all the testimony black and white before me. But from what I gather, Reb Shmuel, Reb Shmuel's son, Reb Shalom, but with the Haskama Reb Shmuel, was mater the woman to remarry without a get, because the man had psychological problems before his marriage. I can tell you from his behavior after marriage, it certainly appears that this guy is a psycho. And these problems haunt us. But here you can apply Mekach Ta'ud. I have a problem now also from Baltimore. It's amazing. The guy wants a fortune of money to give to get. It's amazing. It's just sad. There's a child involved. The girl ran back to New York. The secular courts ruled on the joint custody. She faithfully follows the principles of the joint custody, but he is insisting. Now, I don't know if you can't just say Hafkat Kedushin. Did he have mental problems before he married? In this case, I don't know. I know Rabbanim are involved, good people are involved, Rabbi Willick is involved, Rabbi Howard of Baltimore is involved. These are good people. But the fact that the man can blackmail the woman, it undermines Torah Hashem Talima. Here in Israel, thank God, it's a little bit different. Here, if you have a person who refuses to give a get, I don't have to tell you there are all types of strictures against him. What happens in Baltimore is right in the middle of conflict right now. I did what I could. I got a very important balabas who's a devotee of mine. I have to thank him. He got involved. I don't want to mention his name because it's in negotiation now, and he's trying to use his prestige, but he tells me it's going to cost money no matter which way you look at it. It's only a question now how much. You understand what I'm saying? But it's very sad. Okay. But here, in Israel, we have solutions. Thank God, because the Batei Dinim have power. Not only that, in Israel, this past year, the authority was expanded to, if you live outside of Israel and you refuse to give a get and you visit Israel and the lady lives in Israel, they arrested a guy, threw him into jail, and he went to the Supreme Court, not the Beit Gadol Yerurim. What right do they have to arrest me? I'm an American visiting Israel. And believe it or not, the Supreme Court ruled that you're a Jew, and we have the right to protect the Jewish daughter. The state of Israel has responsibility for it. He gave a get. He couldn't get out of the country without giving a get. And this is the Supreme Court. Now the Supreme Court will be better because, God bless Ayelet Shaked, we should make a Mishabeich for every Shabbos. I don't have to elaborate. Okay, so Reb Moshe quotes that here there's another reason, Lahakel, that she claims there was mental illness. She didn't know about it. And Reb Ovadia says We don't have to go any further. Safek Mamzer is mutter from the Torah. And when we come up with two such viable concepts that we have here, that the woman has no ne'amanut, and the first marriage may have been a mekach tot, he says, v'yesh li harich ol b'zeh. You know what Reb Moshe means by that? He could cite another 10,000 sources. Not Reb Moshe, Reb Ovadia. Reb Ovadia's knowledge, he was a walking encyclopedia. They once put him up against the computer, and Reb Ovadia won. He had two more sources that the computer did not have. As that's what I'm told. The man's knowledge was indescribable. And he says, I could write endlessly, but I don't have time now. But halacha lemaisa, you absolutely can permit the children, lavo b'kal Hashem, and I'm happy to agree with your psak, and he signs b'bracha, Ovadia Yosef. Okay, so that's another example, another case of Mamzerut. So Rav Ovadia, now you have another story. This is fascinating. This already is Romania. Okay, Yitzchak, do you recall the difference between Romania to Russia? The Iron Curtain was not the same in every country. Russia, outside of the Sephardic part of Russia, where the Sephardim lived, Georgia, Tbilisi, that whole area, Bukhara, that whole area, the Moshe Nefesh, Stalin wanted to close down the shuls. Tens of thousands of Jews lay down on the street and said, you have to kill us first. So Stalin backed off. So there were Rabbanim, there was a certain modicum of Yiddishkeit. You see from the Aliyah that from that area, endless from Jews living in Israel today. A lot had to do with Chabad, we have to give credit. Chabad went there, the Rashab already sent Shluchim there 120 years ago, 130 years ago, and they had a big impact. If you go to Kiryat Malachi and you go to these Chabad settlements, you'll see endless Sephardic Jews who you don't even recognize that they're Sephardim, the long beards, prayers, they're regular Chabadnikim. Some of them speak perfect Yiddish. It's an amazing thing, but that was the influence of Chabad. So, but the mainstream Russia, the persecution was indescribable. Romania already, the closer you get to Hungary, Romania was more open. They were communist. They had a chief rabbi. Remember who the chief rabbi was? Rabbi Moshe Rosen. And I yet met him. He used to come to RCA conventions. And he, Fiat Amalucha, he, how do you say that in English? I don't even know. Fiat Amalucha conducts a kingdom of Yiddishkeit. There was Yiddishkeit in Romania. He really ran it as best as he could under these difficult circumstances. When you got to Hungary already, there you had less persecution than any other communist country. And he actually had a school for rabbis, the Eastern Europe School for Rabbis, was in Budapest. You all know that. It wasn't neolog. It was like what we would call right-wing conservative, neolog. But the head of the school was a Ur-Ur-Ur-Ur-Reinikul of the Chatam Sofer. Yes, Sam?
What year was it open in Tolerance?
The school, I don't even know if it's closed now. Maybe now they all come to Israel. But it certainly functioned well into the 70s.
You say right-wing conservative, meaning politically or religiously?
No, religiously. Religiously. But, again, the graduates, they came out of there, some of them with tzaddikim yisadei olam. You talk about Rabbi Shaiowitz of the great synagogue in Moscow. I stand in awe of him. I know the inside story. When communism fell, what would I say, 1970s? No, it continued well to the fall of the Soviet Union into the 2000s. When communism fell, so the conservative, the reform, everyone jumped on Russia. It's an amazing thing. Everyone jumped on Russia with a fortune of money. And they pleaded with Rav Shaiowitz to become, you're a graduate of Neolog School, you're conservative, declare conservative. The synagogue, this has to be conservative. He turned them down. And Sam, don't want to elaborate. A fortune of money in front of your eyes. All right? Let me say it in Chinese. Trach sich vom unsi jiden. A filu de frumme. Ich bin nicht sicher. As alle wollen gesagt nehmen. Got it?
Right.
Don't want to translate. Let it be. And I confirmed the story. When I was in, I have a picture of myself with Rabbi Shaiowitz, and you can find it in Washington. When I was in Russia this past June, I confirmed the story with people who, for any reason, could have said, no, he said, they absolutely confirmed the story, 100%. So I don't want to condemn, it was under the communists, it was the best they could do, they had in Hungary. But Romania had Rav Yosef Rosen. He was a reliable person.
Even in America, it's not fair to condemn all conservative rabbis, but some of them had a shomer mitzvah 100%.
In that era, what are you talking about? The what was his name? Max Kedushin? Cohn, there was a Cohn, I forget his first name. His gittin were accepted by every baitin in the world. He was a frum Jew 100%. I hope I have the right name. Check it out. He was 100%. I met grandchildren of his. Baruch Hashem.
But there's also Ben Sion Boxer.
Ben Sion, no, Baruch Hashem. But today it's a different ballpark. Okay, now, I'll tell you what's fascinating about this next tshuva. It's tshuva Siman Zayin in Yabia Omer Chelik Yudalev. I'll tell you what's fascinating. This tshuva, it's Rabbi Avraham Shapiro. He was the Av Beit Din. He was the Av Beit Din of the Beit Din Gadoli Yehudim. Rabbi Avraham Shapiro, famous name you know. Later, the Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz Harav, or concomitantly the Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz Harav. Rabbi Avraham Shapiro was a Gadol Shebe Gadolim. He was, his knowledge, he was from the Yishuv HaYashan, and he got caught up in the Rav Kook world, the greater Rav Kook world, the Merkaz HaRav world, but this man was an Adam Gadol, tremendous Derech Eretz for him, until today. I mean, any Haredi Rav who knew how to learn had Derech Eretz for Rav Avram Shapiro. You'll see that Rav Avadja had tremendous Derech Eretz. Now, here is Rav Avram Shapiro telling the story, and here you have the whole story. What a story it is. A couple came before the Beit Din, and they were married, both of them. This was the second marriage for both of them. And each one had a previous marriage, which they claimed was with Chuppah v'Kedushin, and this marriage, the first marriage, Chuppah v'Kedushin, was done in Romania, okay? And then they claimed there was a get in Romania, and again, they got married in Romania. Heimalula Eretz v'chayu kol hazman tirzug nasui. And they came in Aliyah, and the entire time, a normal couple, people are coming in Aliyah. So I'll just repeat for you, because otherwise you'll lose it. It's a couple from Romania who, this case reaches the Beit HaGadol. It's Rav Avraham Shapiro now dealing with it. And they claimed they were married in Romania, Chuppah Kedushin. Then there was a get, Chuppah. And then this couple, second marriage for both, Chuppah Kedushin in Romania. And the couple has three children, dealing here with three children. The husband now claims that this is life. He's mad at his wife. He wants to get divorced. She hides money from him. Okay? By the way, I'm told that a good percentage of marriages that break up in Israel are over monetary matters. I don't know whether it's like that in America, but imagine she hides money from him. I grew up in a house where my father did not have a penny. My mother ran everything, and she gave him an allowance. That's the way we grew up. All my friends, what, our fathers touched money? Their job was to work. And the mothers ran the house, ran the budget, ran the money. It's a very different world today. I got married. I said to my wife, take charge of the money. No, it's your responsibility. I don't know if she knows how to write a check, but Baruch Hashem, you understand, it's a different world. Today I've seen my grandchildren. He's a boss, she's a boss, he makes a living, she makes a living, she cooks, he cooks, you understand? It's a different world today. But he's complaining, she's hiding money on him. All right? That he puts her down, who knows what that means, yachas mashpil, talks her down. I give you a simple example, yachas mashpil. Abba Braunschweigel should live and be well, Rabbi Braunschweigel. Why you were Shashiva then in the college, and we grew up together after he got to America, after they went through the hell of the Holocaust. So he had a brother, also a survivor, Yosef Braunschweigel, Americanized his name to Brown. Zichrono Levracha, died young, what he went through. So he was a photographer, and he made a living. Nebuch, he had no skill, these were brilliant minds, but he already was much older, he was about 5 years, 3 years older than Abba. When he came to America, all he could do was learn photography, and he made a living photographing weddings, bar mitzvahs, poor people, the West Bronx, the East Bronx, I should say. The West was more wealthy. So I told you the story years ago, he photographs a bar mitzvah, and the woman doesn't want to pay him, and they're having a big fight. And he says to the woman, who the heck are you? You're no more than a woman. Do you know she took him to Din Torah before Rabbi Moshe Bick? And Rabbi Moshe Bick fined him for putting down a woman like that. I think it was $25 or 50. It was a fortune of money of $25. Could be it was $50. This is the 1950s. But you see, yachas mashpil mitzido. Oh boy. And they came to the court the first time, 1969. All right? Afterwards, they started living together. They made peace. Now, you know, when you come to the court in Israel, when you come to the Beit Din, the first thing they try to do is shalom bayit. They send you to social workers, psychologists. But they didn't hear a well-organized. Don't believe everything you read in the newspapers. And time marches on. As the Dayanim take over, the new Dayanim, even if they're Haredim, they're raised in Israel, they have a different mentality than a Dayan who was a big Lamdan, but was born and raised in Romania, Czechoslovakia, Morocco, Yemen, etc., Persia. These Dayanim are with it. So they made peace. 3 years later, 1972, once again, Patku Tik, it means they reopened the case in the Beis Din. She claimed the husband is beating her. Now this happens, Maisim B'chol Yom, Lo Aleinu. I hate to say it, I thought it's only Eidot HaMizrach where they beat, cases of my own students who had to get gitten, husbands beating them. Oh my. And she ran away, and she demanded a tzav hafrada, means that he can't come near her. How do you say that in English?
Order,
restraining order, order of protection, exactly. And now the husband claims, I married her with chuppah v'kedushin, but I don't really believe her first marriage ever had a get. I married her with chuppah v'kedushin, but I don't believe the first marriage ever had a get. I don't believe her. And what he's implying is his own children are mamzerim. That, you know, when the fight begins and they're out to harm each other, hurt each other, kill each other, aggravate each other, aim l'dover sof. And the first husband lives in Israel. Could you imagine? He came in Aliyah too from Romania. So they call him in. And the wife says in front of the first husband, I got a get. And she says there was a rab in the city in Romania, and I got a get in front of him, and he gave me the get in front of this rab. And wow. The man is standing there. He doesn't deny it. He also claims that he gave a get. And now the Beit Din keeps on investigating again and again. They don't know what to do. One husband says she didn't have a get. Husband number two, husband number one says, yes, there was a get. Now the Beit Din reaches a decision on everything. Joint property, everything is fine, but is there a get in between the two marriages? Are the kids kosher? Are the kids mamzerim? And they called the women in again, and they ask her. And now she tells a different story. Not that she got the get in front of the Rav, but she got the get in the mail. Well, tell me, if you get a get in the mail, we send get them in the mail. Sure, Beit Din sends a get from one Beit Din to another with all the instructions how to give the get. You need a get given by a Beit Din in front of Edim, and there's a whole formula. What has to be said? Look into Ebenezer, look into Sfarim and say there a get. The woman says she got the get in the mail. And what did the Beit Din do? They worked out a get between the second husband to the woman, but they added in the what we call in Chutz Laaretz the Ktav Ptur, but what they call here the Tudat HaGet. Are you familiar how a get is given? Let me not take anything for granted. Have you ever seen a get given? Okay. So a get is given, the Beit Din, the Edim, the woman lifts it and walks with it and carries it and makes kinyanim on it. Then the Dayanim take back the get, cut the get up. Have you seen it or not? I should bring in a get and show you a get. I still haven't. I once got a hold of a get that all cut up from the Beit Din. Why did they cut the get up? Now who can tell me? Ah, that's already, they found the remiss to it, that get kritut, you have to cut it up. It's a takana going back already to the earth, to the Balei Tosfot. They were people, I told you, when love turns to enmity, the hatred is unbelievable. So a person gives a get, he'll then get hold of that get again, and he'll cut up the get, and say, the get is puzzle. I gave you a get. It was a joke. It wasn't real. He'll get hold of the get. He'll scratch out names. Do anything. Then he can put up posters all over Meir Sharim that the lady is an adulteress. The kids are mamzerim. Go to Meir Sharim. Look at the posters up. Look what they did to Rav Steinman. Look online today already. People want to do to Rav Orbach what they did to Rav Steinman. You follow? I mean, these are human beings. It's terrible. I called Rakefet to you from the time that Rav Yisrael Salanta went public in 1840 in Vilna. Maybe he had 1,000 devotees that really followed his teachings. In this room, there are two people who are Talmidim of Rav Yisrael Salanta. Rabbi Reuben and yours truly. We sat in the Vad HaMusa. But how many people are real? Hasidim conquered tens of millions in this building. 2 weeks ago, the building was shaking. Zev, are you aware of it? The Mashpia spoke what went on here. And there was Talmid Mechol, oh, such hashpah. What a world. Hasidim conquered the world. But it's easy to be a Hasid, drink a lechayim, and dance. To be a Talmid Chacham, a Gaon Adir, that's a different story. That's a Rav Shlomi Yosef Zevin, a Rav Menachem Kasha. Rav Menachem Zemba. Oh, wow, we had Gedolei Yisrael. But people, so what we do, this is Chok V'lo Yavar. We take the get, we cut it up, and if this no goodnik will come along 5, 10, 15 years later and say the get is no good, of course we know the get is no good. We cut it, but until we destroyed it, we testify everything was kedat v'kedin. Now, if this is the case, so the woman walks out, and the woman doesn't have a get. The woman, what? So how does she show? So you give the woman a letter. This is what they call in modern Hebrew, tudat gelushin. You give the woman a letter. Have you ever seen it? It's a court document. certifying, just like you get a document from, you register your marriage, that your marriage is registered, you get a document on this day before this Beis Din, this person divorced his wife, Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. Now, in this document in Hebrew, I'll give you an example, without going into many details, because God forbid no one should identify who I'm talking about, but I had a very difficult divorce story. And this woman, it seems, was having an affair with another man while she still was an Eshet Ish. So the Beit Din in the document wrote, what do you write in the document? You quote the get, V'harehi muteret l'chol adam chutz mikohen, right or wrong? So if she had an affair, what's the halacha when a woman has an affair? The Gemara in Asur lebala v'asur leboala. You write in the get, v'harehi muteret, this woman, Sarah Devera, Chveis Markowitz, is permitted to remarry to any person except the Kohen. And if she wants to marry Shimon Drelick, Hadava Tzarich Diyun Chozer. It needs additional investigation. Jacob, this is code language for adultery. Understand what I'm saying? So what they did in the get from 2 to 2, the second marriage, that Harehi Muteret, but if she really wants to remarry, we need a Diyun Chozer, and Alachat Kama Vakama, we need a Diyun Chozer as far as the children. So on one hand, the Beitman established that she's free of the second husband. On the other hand, they're still investigating what really happened. And they call in the Baal Rishon again. And once again, they question him. And once again, the woman claims that she got the get. How did she get the get? An open issue. She's contradicting herself, I should say. Okay. Nu, would anyone come up with an idea to solve the contradiction? Rav Avadja, Rav Avram Shapiro, they both come up with the same idea. What is the woman saying? One hand she got the get, the other hand the male. Tell me, how big a lamdanet is this woman? Born in Romania, raised in Romania. Aye, where did your wife go to school?
For high school.
High school, seminary. College, seminary.
She went to Stern.
So you see here, you're married to a Stern. What seminary did she go to here?
Shalavim.
Baruch Hashem. What high school?
Central.
Well, Google Central, fine, that's to be real. But what it means is, your wife knows something. She's not an Amara, it's right or wrong. My wife can quote many Gemaras. My problem is, the Gemaras she quotes are the ones I have a problem with. You follow? Baruch Hashem, she went to Ramaz. Okay. Dove. The woman's not a big lamdana. She was raised in Romania. Okay? She says she got a get. Then she talks about the male. What do you mean the male? You know what the solution may be? Very simple and very logical and very rational. Sure she did a get. She got the tudat gittin, the tudat, the ktav ptur, the certification of her get, she got in the male. And you have to remember that the Rabbanim in Romania who functioned under the communists were reliable. We're not dealing here with reform rabbis. We're not dealing here with conservative rabbis. We're dealing here with rabbis from the old school. They knew what they were doing. And that would make a lot of common sense. It falls together, a hand on a glove. Then you come to Rav Avraham Shapiro. This becomes the atomic bomb that he's throwing. Gentlemen, all the facts are in Rakafir Aron Chelikim. To say it very briefly, I lectured on this 30 years ago endlessly. It's an unbelievable topic. This is the story I told you with the Rav, with the Beitel Haget. Sugyurin, Gittin, Daf Lamed, Gimel, Lamed, Bet, you're all familiar with it. Look, when a person gives a get, what creates a get to be a get? And we spoke about this. A ketuvah is nothing. A ketuvah is meaningless. You can take a ketuvah out of the garbage. Remember I told you one time we took it out of the garbage, basically, with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, with the date, with Chaim Gold. I mean, remember the story. It's unbelievable. God, Chaim should live and be well. He wrote a ketuvah. Oh, he's marrying Yitz's sister. This is Carrot Cup. And he writes a beautiful ketuvah with Allah Chumras Dagon. And when they read the ketuvah aloud, one person in the audience picks up that it's dated 100 years earlier. He copied the date. You follow? So now, Sunday evening, Broadway Central. Was it, am I right? It was Broadway Central? I remember. It's on the east side, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Masada Kedushin. Where do you get a gay ketuvah? So they went in the hall, the guy who ran the hall, maybe in the caterer, he opened up the drawer, and we found the ketuvah there, folded up, garnished, mcgarnished, but it was not filled in. Rav Aaron filled it in, we did a Kabbalat Kenyan, fine. I get, in a million years you can't use that. Imagine Sam becomes a sofa and he advertises, I'll prepare 100 gittin in advance for the baiting. And he's going to write all without names, but everything else, you can't use that. A get, you need the authorization of the husband to write a get, l'shmi, l'shma, l'shem, gerushin. Time and again, he has to say it. He has to empower them. And at the end, they have to say, we wrote it. Oh my gosh. So what creates a get, a simple piece of paper that can divide up between a husband and wife, is the kavana of the husband. So imagine he gives the get al yedei shaliach, and this was the case in Boston. Do you remember what happened in Boston? This girl in the Rav's kehila, she goes to college, goes to university, comes home, she's in love with this guy, they plead with her not to marry him, but no, love is love. And she marries him, and within a few months, she hates him with a passion, doesn't want to look at him again. Who knows what went on? This is beyond you. I can tell you these cases. You got to, Sam, you got to be Modla Kadosh Baruch Hu in your first year yet, am I right?
First full year.
So what talking about? Baruch Hashem, the marriage worked out. You, I see, I look at your face, I look at her, I look at your father. Baruch Hashem, you got a Madla Kadosh Baruch Hu. You never know. I can tell you a story with David Holzer. Once had a school, Machon Biner, I believe it was called. Very successful school for girls. Unfortunately, he left it and went to Florida. All right. So the Zayin Gesunden B'Matzliach, he's a great guy. So Rabbi Holzer, I spent time in the school. So there was this girl there. She had a boyfriend in medical school, and he loved her so that he came on an LL plane in the middle of the year in intercession, and he brought her Häagen-Dazs ice cream from the United States, as I recall. Häagen-Dazs, today, you have Ben and Jerry's, Cholav Yisrael, you'll have Haroses ice cream for Pesach, you'll see, they're going to put it out. He asked Charlie Hexter tomorrow. His son is the controller of Ben and Jerry's. They're going to put it out last year. Remember, Haroses ice cream. You didn't have that in America, Zev. And he brought it. I was ibigarashed. Don't know how to overwhelmed. They got married. Within the year, they got divorced. Go and explain it. This girl in Boston wouldn't come to take the get. She quoted, though, of it. I'm quoting. I don't know if she was learned enough. You can't look at Esav. Right or wrong? Yitzchak went blind. He had to look at Esav. Right or wrong? The Rocket Sheva, when Chaim Nachum Bialik went to see the Rocket Sheva, so Chaim Bialik came out, they asked, what's your impression of the Rocket Sheva? And Bialik said, we can make two Einsteins out of one Rocket Sheva. We can from the machen zwei Einsteins. They asked the Rocket Sheva, the Kanoyim, how did you dare meet with Bialik, Asul, this Takel, Pepnei, Russia? And you know what the Rocket Sheva said? Who said I looked at him? Do you follow? I answered his questions. The Rocket Sheva was smarter than them all. Who said I looked at him? She refused to come. So you give a get on your day shliach. While the shliach is going to deliver the get, the guy goes and he's mavatul the get, not before a beit din. A beit din people would know, before one person could be. Two, look into Tosfot, you'll see Rabbi Avadya gives an eight letter, you'll see next week. He doesn't know. The shliach gives the get. He heard nothing about the beetle. It was only in front of one person. The woman gets the get. She doesn't know anything. She remarries, has 10 children. Within 10 years later, he puts up signs all over Meir Sharim, Geula, B'nai Brak. This lady who you think is so frum and has 10 children is an adulteress and every last kid is a mamsa. I was mavatul to get kedat v'kedin. And finished. So the Chachamim were furious. And this is one of the places where the Chachamim instituted Hafkat Kedushin. Hu asa shelo kahogin? We'll teach him a lesson. Afkinu Rabbanan the Kedushin Minei, the marriage is retroactively annulled. That's the famous Gemara. The Gemara asks, he gave Kesef? No. Hefka based in Hefka. They had relations? The Rabbanim say these relations are Bilatznut. Shavyinu Rabbanan le Bilato, Abriyut, Bilatznut. Rabbanim have the power to do it. Well, this is an open Gemara. Tosfot ala makom. Bruch atod and melech olam shekom yuviro. Tosfot's one of the questions there is, wait a minute, this is terrible. Yechapel batachotel. Guy will can now cover up for his niece. Do a beetle haget and hafkina it doesn't mean anything till it reaches her hand. The get does not become a get till she makes a kinyan in it. He can do whatever he wants. But if this is the case, Tosfos says, if he'll do this and you're mafki kadushin lemafreya, his niece was suspected of adultery, and because it's his niece, he wants to cover up for her. So he does it, he's mavatl to get, that way he was never married to her. So Tosfos, there's one opinion in Tosfos, Tosfos answers, he's doing kedim. Shemi yichapel batachoto is when you do it, shalok kedim, this is kedim. If this is the case, the achronim already, particularly the masham shvadran, this was the Brzhina Rav Galitzia, the Marsham Shvadran 120 years ago suggested we can solve problems of Mamzeret. The woman remarried thinking her husband is dead. Lo and behold, her first husband is alive. He's here. She's married to a second man, has children from the second man. She made a mistake. The Rabbanim made a mistake following World War II, giving you a case that actually happened. A woman got a heter to remarry. Her original husband got a heter to remarry. The woman was in B'nai Brak. The man was in Borough Park. This is a case that happened. The guy in Borough Park made money, visited Israel. I told you more than once about this case. And he meets his first wife on the streets of B'nai Brak, taking her two little children from the second marriage to Yeshivat Letzirim of Panovich. Wow, the rabbis made a mistake. You and your matar in aguna, your matar on the basis of circumstantial evidence. If you have a body, she's not an aguna. What do you do? No, following the masham, let the first husband give the get al yedei shliach, be mevatel it before it reaches her hands, and will apply the gemara and get them. Yesh bitul haget, yesh bitul hakadushin, I should say, l'mafreya, hafkat kadushin l'mafreya, she was never married to the first husband, the children are not mamzerim. Gentlemen, what Rav Avadya didn't know, and what perhaps Rav Avram Shapiro didn't know, and what a guy named Rakefet was privileged to publish in Rakefet Aaron Chelik Gimel, the letter I have, Eidut Nemana, that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank did exactly this to solve the problem of the Panovich kids from the second marriage. You with me? This is the Masham. It's a famous Masham. Rav Shalom Mordechai Shvagran. It's a posek mufak, a gon adia. But you have to be aware that he says, this is an etza that I propose lahalacha v'lo lema'aseh. Okay? You look into Rakafaram and you get all the sources. And what did he mean by that? Did he mean, like Rav Avadya said to me with the aguna, that I came up with the idea to be matir with a sveik sveika, that I need others to agree with me? That's what he meant. Lahalacha v'lo lema'aseh. Don't depend on me alone. It's a big chiddush. Well, no. Did he mean never use it? It's just the thought I'm playing mental games. We don't know. You know when this shaila came up again? With the Yemenite magic carpet. Suddenly, tens of thousands of Yemenites were here, coming from a very primitive background to modern-day Israel. And women got married. And suddenly, the next time a plane came in, a man comes in, men came in with witnesses. Their fathers, this girl was married off to me when she was 12 years old in a bar in Yemen. Father and I danced on the table, and he brings witnesses. And here this girl in marriage at the age of 18, married, has children, never knew a thing about what her father did, and even if her father told her, she laughed at it. She didn't believe it. You tell a kid at 12, you're married? Kid thinks you're playing games. And the number of cases like this, and it came to Rav Herzog, was then the Ashkenazic chief rabbi, and he played with the idea of getting the first husband to give the get al yedei shaliach levatel et haget shelo bifnei hashliach shelo bifnei habeitin shelo bifnei haisha. And again, Chafkat Kedushin L'mafreya. You will see this all in Heichel Yitzchak on Eben HaEzer. Zev, there's one problem. Rav Herzog was very busy. He was a Gon Adir. You know that his Talmidim, Rav Yashiv was a Talmid, Rav Orbach, these are Talmidim Chaverim, they revered the ground Rav Herzog walked on. They claim that he was the biggest bucky in the world. They had a photographic memory, etc. But he lived at a very difficult time. He died young. He aged. You look at his beard when he becomes chief rabbi. I think it's 37. Black beard. Within 8 years, totally white. Everything. There's not one black hair left. The Holocaust, the state of Israel, the shayas, the pressure. He left manuscripts, but they were unfinished. What's published in Heichel Yitzchak is fascinating, but we'll never know what he did halacha l'maisa. The manuscript was unfinished. It's like taking someone's manuscripts after he died posthumously and putting it together. With Rav Avadja, we have an advantage here that a lot of this material is from the Batei Dinim, so that it was in a final form halacha lemaisa. We don't know whether Rav Herzog ever really did it. With Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, I already investigated, and interestingly, my family, my children, the Ackerman part of my family, very close to his descendants. Matter of fact, I think I told you, his daughter-in-law, his last surviving sibling, basically, I still knew his youngest son very well through my children, and his daughter-in-law, so she adopted my grandson there, the youngest. She says, Zaha Nechet Shali, okay? So I checked out. Everything is correct. Ratzi Pasach Frank did it, but after he did it, you can look into all his Sfarim, the Har Tzvi. They published a lot from his manuscripts. After he did it, he said, Das will ich nicht matpesein. I don't want to publish this. Ich will nicht, I'm quoting word by word what I was told. Ich will nicht die Kinder auf dem Gas zerreden for me. I don't want the kids on the street. The average kid is an Amoritz. What does he know? Even if he's learning Amoritz, he's learning. But this is a sugya. You need depth and learning and knowledge and a breitkeit with. He said, this I don't want to publish. I don't want them to curse me, contradict me, maledict me, matirishurim, mamzera. Do you understand what can go on in our world? So he never published it. The closest we have is that letter that I was privileged to publish in Chilek Kemal. So,
but he proved it, right?
Well, excuse me?
It went into effect.
That's the letter. The letter tells you that it went into effect. And eyewitness. This solution, in other words, in this case, where the woman says there was a get, there wasn't a get, and the first husband is here and the second husband is here, so where to with the masham? This is Rav Avram Shapiro, and he says, let's do it halacha lemaisa here. It creates already a svek sveka, a mamza, who's a safek midia writer is mutter, midi rabbanin wiasa malasea subi yuchasin, and here, alacha tama vakama, where we have the svek sveka, even the rabbanin he's mutter. There is no question we can be matia. And he's asking Rav Avadja to agree with this decision. So to reiterate, gentlemen, the rabbinate is under attack. I'm very ashamed. You see, everyone thinks Rakefet is a great teacher, has good students. I've succeeded with some, and I failed with others, plain and simple. But I'm in good company, unfortunately. I can give you a list of Talmidim of the Rav. We have here, we have there. Talmidim of Avraham Kotler, Lakewood. This is the challenge of modern times. And we can't run away from it. We can't win them all. The Rav always used to say, the Prophet says, V'chol b'nayach limudei Hashem. And the Rav used to say, Ad yemot ha-mashiach halavai rov b'nayach limudei Hashem. Yemot ha-mashiach will be called b'nayach. So gentlemen, I'm licking the surface of Rav Avadja. What I told you is Rav Avadja is overwhelming here. You'll see tshuva after tshuva after tshuva, how he finds a solution to what appear to be the most difficult questions. Hold on, let me just reiterate. So today we dealt with Simen Vav and we started Simen Zayin. Both questions from behind the iron curtain. The one from Russia was a little bit easy because they're already... It's the communist empire, the mother has no money, and you have the factor of mekach ta'ut that she established. He had psychological, psychiatric problems before the marriage that she didn't know about. The one from Romania is already a little bit more involved because here we're dealing with a country that had rabbanim, had kedushin, had gittin. Was there a get? Wasn't there a get? What does she mean? She went to the post office. But both men are around. And here you can activate the Masham's suggestion La halacha ula maisa, and Rav Avram Shapiro is activating it. It could very well be, I'm only guessing, that Rav Avram Shapiro knew about Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. See, it's possible he doesn't write about it because Reb Tzvi Pesach didn't want to write about it, but it's possible that he knew that Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank actually proposed this and did it to solve the Panovich case. I'll end off the class with, yes, Yitzchak, what did you want to ask?
After hearing all this about Rabbi Yavada, I wonder how his son didn't pick up his father's knowledge, because the whole issue...
No, you mean his father's approach. Who says he doesn't have his father's approach to halacha, but he struggled. We'll get to his father with...
What would Avadja say about women being supervisors of kashrut?
I would imagine he would be mater. How can you not be mater? Women run the homes. Who's the cheskas kashrut? Not only that, the svadim, if you look into the first siman of Yoredeya, can women be sheikher or not? So the whole machlokes, we paskin know. The svadim, we know absolutely. We have kabbalot of women had on shchita dakot in Italy. So the women, and you'll see, the svadim have kulas there. But if the women can be shaykhtat, what does that mean? You follow? 100%. Rav Moshe was Matir Carmel when the Rav HaMachshir died. Rav Zemba was the nephew to Rav Menachem Zemba. No, I remember it like yesterday. Carmel plant was the big plant in Chicago. The family was left penniless. And the woman was willing to take over the Hashgacha. Rav Moshe was Matir. The Rebbetzin took over the Hashgacha. So I believe Rav Avadja would be Matir. But if you're asking about a woman being a judge in a secular court, what's going on now? Have you seen the
so
and all right? Absolutely, Asa. We'll see. We'll get there. But that's Rav Avadja. You have to take the good and the kulat and the chumrat. You have to take his mentality. Rav Avadja was worried stiff when his daughter Rivka went to Mechlala. He felt a woman should be a seamstress. And suddenly she's going to Michlala, what would happen to her? And he was Makat Toiva to a guy named...
What would the Rav say about a woman becoming a judge?
I don't think the Rav would have a problem with it, because this is general court. Everything here is Kiblu Alai. It's Dinei Mamonet, it's Pshara. So I think the Rav could work it out with the hints I've given now. You can go a lot further. Okay, my dear students, we'll pick up exactly where we left off next week. Don't get too drunk on Purim, Vic, so that Sunday you can come to class. Tomorrow I wouldn't miss the class for all the dollar bills that are going to be thrown by Mr. Edelstein, if I have the right name, the great Jew from Las Vegas. I tell you, I love gambling if it can produce what it just produced. You heard the news yesterday. It's epic making. He's willing to fund, not just the embassy now, but in the main building, what America can't afford, he is ready to give the balance. God bless that Jew. So it's really great moments. I wouldn't miss the class tomorrow. We're coming into 1924, the rabbinical visit to America. Jacob, it's living history. Your people, your Torah, you're going to Bernard Revel. I want to see good results. Got me? We'll talk later. All right, first of all...
You have to try to talk him into writing it by...
He knows what I'm talking about. I've already hit him over the head twice. Michael, here you have the New York Times... Every article that was any good written about the Yankees from 1903 to the present. Here you have Shtuyot on the fur, right? Designated Hebrew, designated hitter.
Thank
enjoy.
So
what I'm mad about, but he finally eats in a kosher restaurant, you'll see. Finally works out that he gets to a kosher restaurant.
And baseball cards on the front.
Right. Michael, this is for you too.
The books that you gave me, I donated to the Efrat Library.
Whatever you do, pass it on.
Read them.
Tell them Rakefet has good students who keep him happy, and the world should gain.
The world was ecstatic
okay.
To get this collection of baseball
books. Oh, yeah, I once gave away a collection of 100 books. Steve Gross, I don't know what happened. Now, gentlemen, I want to tell you, enjoy. This is Yitzchak Rav Asher Weiss. His mind is so prolific. You'll see what he does here. Kol HaKavod. This is unbelievable. Jewish sheriff leading the response to the Florida school shooting quotes the Talmud. And you know, I figured this is fabulous. The guy davens in Chabad, the Kiddush Hashem. By the way, did you see the video clippage of the car going to Washington? They're starting out to meet with the president. Remember, the kids met with President Trump and what went on over the weekend. And at the car, the announcer from the TV station is standing next to the car, and they're zeroing in, and right behind the car, right the trunk, you can see there's a kid, the Chabad rabbi of this little community, is putting tefillin on the kid. Did you see it or not? It's a sight to see. Chabad with the tefillin, as it was a man or a lady, I forget, is reporting, and they're telling, they don't even realize what's going on behind them. Turn around and show the world Chabad at work. So I get this article, Davinson Chabad, quotes the Talmud, all right. I am Jewish, his name is Israel. Israel told the son Centennial that he attends the Parkland Chabad, and he is comfortable in churches as well as synagogues. His wife Susan is a Christian, and they raise their children in both religions. I am Jewish, Susan is Christian. Like most families with parents of different faiths, we raised our children with extensive exposure to both our faiths. The triplets were all bat mitzvah. I'm going to ask triplets. Now that the triplets are adults, they each have the free choice to choose their own faith. Al pi halacha, they're not even Jewish. Zev, I would leave America so quickly, you have no idea. If anyone wants to read the attack on the Rabbanim and the Batei Dinim by my students, here it is. Wow. This is the info. I couldn't get over the research that he did. This is the info on Sion Rachamim and Sion Levi. Oh, wow. This is the article I quoted. Yitzchak, please take a copy of this for our friend Chaim. Maltz, Herbie Maltz. This is before you walked in. This is a whole article on DNA. And in relation to Mamzeret, it's just what I said. Even though it's 99.99% reliable, it's more than 98%. But it could be there's a difference. I explained it in class between if they take it out of you or take it from family. But as far as Mamzeret, it's not more than a Simon Benoni at most. They don't want Lahabot Mamzerim be Israel. But for instance, Faguna, it has a much...
If they know that this will save a child, why can't they use it?
When talking about parceling a child, they don't use it. To save a child, they'll use it. But if you run the risk of parceling, well, come on, let's not be overly wise. Let's...
This way it's for sure that he's
a Mamzan, exactly. It's what I said in class.
It could be a suffix.
My daughter told this to me years ago, and I see she's absolutely right. Very interesting article. And until we meet again in health and happiness, and I want to thank Yomo for his help, Das Vedanya.